coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Love Letters, a Bible study on the epistles with Pastor Arno Bessel of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon.
Welcome to the Bible study on the third letter of John. The Apostle John wrote a gospel in which he recorded Jesus' life, teachings, and work. John also wrote the book of Revelation, the last one found in the Bible, and wrote three letters addressed to local churches across Asia Minor, now Turkey. We have considered already the first two letters of John. Now we will look into the third letter, which is as brief as the second letter. The third letter was probably written about the same time as 1st and 2nd John, between the years AD 85 and 95. Pastors and missionaries were in short supply in the first decades of the Christian Church. Apparently, John sent out itinerant teachers to the churches in the province of Asia. A dictatorial leader of one of those local churches, called Diotrephes, rejected those messengers and even excommunicated members who showed hospitality to the messengers. John wrote a letter to commend Gaius, a faithful leader of the church, who supported the messengers sent by John. At the same time, John's letter functions as a warning to Diotrephes. The third letter of John is perhaps the most personal of the three letters the apostle wrote. While 1 John was addressed to several churches and 2 John to one specific church, the third letter the apostle sent to one man, whose name was Gaius. 2 John focuses on the issue of hospitality to be given to messengers of the true gospel, but not to be given to false teachers. In a similar way, the third letter of John also focuses on hospitality, but from a different perspective. John reproves the lack of hospitality shown by members of the church to faithful ministers of the gospel. The exception was Gaius, who extended the correct standard of Christian hospitality to itinerant messengers of the gospel. Now we turn to the text of the third letter of John. These are the words of the opening verses 1 to 4. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth, beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health, as it goes well with your soul. For I rejoiced greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. The author does not mention his name, but he uses the title elder, the same term he used in the second letter. The term elder was a common title for the spiritual leaders of Christian congregations. Elder could also be a reference to John's advanced age, as well as to his apostolic eyewitness status of Jesus' life, and also an indication that he had an official position of authority in the church. John addresses the letter to the beloved Gaius. The word beloved is only used of Christians in the New Testament. Several examples could be pointed out. Who was Gaius? Nothing is known of Gaius beyond the mention of his name here in the letter of John. Gaius was one of the 18 common names from which Roman parents usually chose a name for one of their sons, making any specific identification doubtful. Gaius was possibly a leader in one of the churches in Asia Minor, or a faithful layman who gave hospitality to teachers who shared Christ's true gospel. He was a man held in great esteem by fellow believers and even strangers to whom he extended hospitality. The Apostle John expresses his personal appreciation of this man, saying that he loved him in truth. Because Christians have common knowledge of the truth, they have the common source of love. There are many faithful men and women in Christian churches today who are examples of faith, love, and service. Most of the time, their efforts and accomplishments stay hidden behind the scenes. They are not in the spotlight. However, we shall not overlook these servants, rather support them, pray for them, show appreciation for their service, and follow their example. John prayed for Gaius. He prayed that all would go well with him and that he would be in good health in body and soul. Notice, John prayed that Gaius might be physically as healthy as he was spiritually healthy. We learn from John to pray for our fellow believers' physical and spiritual well-being. After all, Christianity is not merely spiritual, but is inclusive in its care for a person as a whole. Let us also remember that prayer knows no geographical distance. We can pray for those close to us and those far away. Fellow Christians brought good news to John about Gaius. They reported that Gaius conducted himself as a Christian, especially the love with which he treated all and the hospitality and support he showed to messengers who proclaimed Christ's gospel. Gaius' spiritual reputation was well known. The good news about the faith, love, and service of Gaius brought great joy to John, so much so that he declares, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth." John's heart delighted in the proper conduct of his spiritual children in the faith. Nowadays, faithful pastors experience the same. Together with the angels in heaven, they rejoice for each sinner who repents and comes to faith in Jesus. They rejoice when Christians are faithful to Jesus and live out their faith and service to others. The same joy is also experienced within the family of faith, when brothers and sisters rejoice over the faith, love, and service shown by their fellow believers. Back to the text of the third letter of John, we read in verses 5 to 8. Beloved, it is a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are, who testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God. For they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers for the truth. John commends Gaius for hosting people whom he knew and people whom he did not know. Those were itinerant preachers who came to serve the church. Gaius recognized them as brothers in Christ because of the true teaching they brought. He treated them as brothers by supporting their work among all the churches. We notice that genuine faith always produces genuine good works. The reputation of Gaius for hospitality and kindness was well known throughout the churches in the region. He treated people as God would treat them. John encouraged Gaius to keep practicing hospitality, especially because of the actions of a man called Diotrephes, who conducted a nasty campaign against Gaius and John. John remarks that the messengers of the true gospel went out in Jesus' name, and they preached and taught his word. They did not accept donations from Gentiles, that is, from unconverted people, non-Christians, lest any might think that money was their motivation for preaching. Their motivation was for the sake of the name, the love of Christ for all. Since Christian teachers could not accept any monetary help from pagans, they had to receive all of their support from fellow Christians. The Apostle Paul reminds us that the Lord commanded that those who proclaim the gospel should get their living by the gospel. So till this day congregations shall sustain their pastors and teachers, paying them a fair salary and providing them with the general living means. John continues to write in his third letter, verses 9 to 12. I have written something to the church about Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first, does not acknowledge our authority. So if I come, I will bring up what he is doing, talking wicked nonsense against us. And not content with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers, and also stops those who want to, and puts them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone, and from the truth itself. We also add our testimony, and you know that our testimony is true. The preaching of the gospel and the work of the church are commonly accompanied by adversities. John experienced that firsthand. John apparently had written a previous letter to the church, perhaps on the subject of hospitality, but it was lost. A fellow called Diotrephes was causing trouble. Perhaps Diotrephes never read John's letter to the church because he rejected John's authority. He liked to put himself first, says John. Diotrephes wanted to be the boss and strive to retain power and control in his hands. We don't know whether he was a layman or a pastor. However, he had enough influence in the congregation to control their meetings and to expel those who refused to do as he said. Diotrephes modeled the opposite of kindness and hospitality to God's servants, even denying John's apostolic authority over the local congregation. The character of Diotrephes was the very opposite of the gentle and loving character of Gaius. Sadly, similar situations continue to emerge in churches today. Some people are eager to hold power, to be in control, and to impose their views. Bossy leadership can cause much damage to the preaching of the gospel because it upsets people, it excludes people from the work of the church, it generates discontentment, if not division. The desirable leadership is the one that is democratic, kind, gentle, patient, encouraging, and aggregating. John intended to visit the congregation of Gaius and put things right. He wanted to meet with Diotrephes and deal with what he was doing, because he talked wicked nonsense against the apostle. We don't know what excuses Diotrephes used for resisting John's God-given authority, or what he may have told his congregation as a reason to refuse to receive John's messengers. His charges were false and empty. Apparently, Diotrephes did not want any of the brothers sent from John to teach in his congregation. Diotrephes' dictatorial actions were not God-pleasing and caused harm in the congregation. John advises Christians not to imitate evil but imitate good. For whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God. Christians are not to use their influence or position to gain personal power in the congregation. The church already has a supreme head, who is Christ. Believers serve him and follow him. John also has positive things to say about people of the church. Demetrius was one of the teachers sent by John, probably the man entrusted to deliver this letter to Gaius. John himself and all the Christians with John in Ephesus gave a good testimony about Demetrius. His teachings and actions were in accord with the word of God, so the truth itself testified that Demetrius was genuine and could be trusted. I am sure we find similar examples of faithful servants in the church today. We shall speak well of them, support them, and learn from their example. John concludes his letter with verses 13 to 15. I had much to write to you, but I would rather not write with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Peace be to you. The friends greet you. Greet the friends, every one of them. These words are almost identical to the second letter of John. The letter to Gaius and the second letter may have been written together or about the same time. The apostle could have written a much longer letter, but he had plans to visit Gaius and the church soon and talk face to face with people. Face-to-face encounters are the best and most effective way of dealing with difficulties, to rejoice in blessings, and to engage in fellowship. John pronounces the blessing of peace on Gaius, saying, "Peace be to you." John and his friends from Ephesus sent greetings to Gaius and his friends. John emphasizes that Gaius should greet every one of his friends. Literally, it means, "Greet the friends by name." For early Christians, their baptismal name bore a special remembrance of God's grace. Therefore, personal greetings would remind them that they were brothers and children of God by baptism into Christ. Thank you for reflecting with us in this study. Please join us again next time.
This study has been prepared and presented by Pastor Arno Bessel. He serves St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon. The congregation at St. Peter's is expecting to meet you and to share the good news of Christ with you. Divine services are held on Sunday at 11 a.m. and Bible studies on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. For more details, visit our website, stpeterslutherans.co.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, St. Peter's Lutheran Church, Plymouth, England. For questions or comments about any issues raised in this program, write an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Check our program online and stay tuned.